Hello, Sister Saints. Sister Deb from don'tperish.com.
Hello, Sister Saints. How are you?
Hey, Brother James is digging through the shelf here while I'm making my audio here. So
I have to eat some dry fruit.
Oh, yeah. Hey, we're out on the road today, and I thought I would just share. I know I've been saying I was going to be sharing a little bit of our witnessing that went on, and the reason I do that is because I know it's edifying to the saints to know that the Word of God is being received out there. It's not all everybody casting it down and trotting upon it and trampling the blood of the Savior. Many people are, but it's kind of nice to share these once in a while just to... what it does is it helps us share our experiences so that way maybe somebody can learn and go, oh, I never thought of that idea on how to open up a door, how to share the gospel, simple ways to do it. And so we just like to share some of these experiences with you because it is greatly encouraging too. So I was just going to say, I think it was like the past few days, I don't know, we lose track of time on the road. And we just went to a town that wasn't too far from us, and they were supposed to have this great big swap meet or flea market, whatever you want to call it. And we figured there'd be a lot of traffic going through that town, so we were going to go there, hang out, fly some signs, do some witnessing, and it was very fruitful. And before we went, I needed a charger cable, and I forgot one at the house, and I've been wanting to duplicate it anyway. So the park was just a little ways away from Walmart, so I walked over there, and on my way back, they were having a flea market in the park, and so I thought, well, I'm just going to walk through there, and I'm going to make sure I give somebody a gospel card. And so as I was walking, there wasn't a whole lot of people in there. They were just kind of getting set up, and there was an older woman there, and she's like fussing with a lamp, and I thought, I don't know, it just kind of hit me. I was like, she's the one. I'm going to give her a gospel card. And she was really friendly, and we talked a little bit about what she was doing and where she's from and stuff. And when I was done, I said, here, I'd like to give you the good news. Good news of the gospel, how to find eternal life through Jesus Christ. And she said, oh, thank you. My husband is a deacon, and I'm a deaconess. And I said, oh, well, great. You're going to love this then. I said, we always encourage people to test themselves to the Word of God. And I was about ready to tell her, because man-made religion isn't teaching the truth of what God's Word says. And I didn't even get very far when all of a sudden she kind of rolled her eyes up and turned sideways and started moving away. And I just turned around and I said, have a good day, ma'am, and I left, like mid-sentence. And I wasn't going to give any more of God's pearls on somebody who didn't want to listen to it. But she had the gospel card, so if she feels bad about it later, she can look up the gospel card and see what it has to say on there. She can always contact, well, she can give it to her husband. They can contact us or whatever. So anyway, later on in the day, we were flying signs, actually outside the flea market there, kind of up and down this big, busy sidewalk. And then we went down to the corner, big intersection, and a lot of people were coming and going. And it was, you know, we really like flying signs because you just stand there, you get to ponder a lot of the things of God, you get to pray, and I don't know, you just get to be a light and stand. We get to stand for the truth of God's Word. And so while we were out there, we really enjoyed doing it, and we got the normal mockers and people yelling things about Satan, hail Satan or whatever. And then you get a lot of people with the thumbs up, nodding, waving, smiling, honking. You know, so it was a mixture there. And at one point, a man walked over with a bottle of water. He had to kind of step through some of the water in the ditch there. And he stood there and talked to Brother James for how long was he there? Probably?
I'd say 25 minutes.
Yeah, it was a really good talk. He was a... ex-Anabaptist going back into the Anabaptists or something like that, I don't know. But anyway, that was really good. He said he was on his way to moving somewhere, so it was kind of nice to be able to, Brother James got to give him a lot of truth and kind of challenged him with some things. So hopefully he takes that to heart. It was interesting, he made the effort to walk all the way across that ditch there and get over to him and talk. So you never know who will be prompted by the Holy Spirit, maybe, or their conscience, or their just something to come and talk. So we always want to be ready. So that was really awesome. And then I think it was shortly before we were going to get ready to go, there was some younger, at least a younger man. I don't know if anybody else was in it, but they had a big diesel truck, great big one, and he swerved over by the edge of the road where we were, and he stomped on the gas, and he blasted us with a huge black cloud of diesel smoke that kind of hung in the air for probably a minute, and then it passed on. And Brother James said, God knows his heart. And I said, I hope they repent.
And I held my breath and it passed and I didn't have to breathe one bit of it.
Right. I wasn't so good at that, but that's all right. God gives us what we need because we breathe in a lot of fumes on those corners, but he gives us what we need. So anyway, I wanted to tell you that particular part about the diesel smoke and the young man, because not long after that, when we headed back, we went to our parking spot later on, and I told Brother James, I said, I want to run into the store and get some, I think it was some milk or something, and I said, well, maybe there'll be somebody else to witness to. So as I'm walking through the parking lot, I see two young men getting out of their vehicle, and one of them kept looking over at our van and looking as I was walking, and I thought, okay, I wasn't really sure what was up, and it was kind of getting a little dark. Not that I was worried about it, and Brother James was there, and there's people walking all over, but I just kind of cut through the parking lot on the, like at a 90 degree angle to them, and they were kind of like meeting up with me, and one of them said, that was a good thing y'all are doing out there. And I said, oh, flying gospel signs. I said, here, let me give you a gospel card. And I handed each one of them a card, and they said, what is it? I said, it's a gospel card. Good news. And as soon as I said that, a young woman said something to them, and they both whipped around and they started walking to her. I think they were really embarrassed. So I want to show you the contrast. Here you got somebody blasting diesel smoke. I don't know if they're angry or just messing around. And then you've got two young men who are saying it's a good thing that we're doing. Hopefully they go look at the website and it helps plant some seeds to them. And then so I went in the grocery store, and this is awesome. You know, sisters, we've been traveling all around the country. And usually when I see a woman who has a covering on and a dress, I can identify usually, for the most part, what kind of religious body they belong to, because almost everybody belongs to a denomination of some sort, some kind of man-made religion. And you can usually tell Mennonites, Amish, German Baptist, you know, charity groups and things like that. And I saw this woman with a head covering kind of similar to one of them that I wear. And she didn't look like she had clothing on that fit any kind of religious body. And so I approached her and I said, excuse me, I couldn't help but notice. I said, your head covering and your dress. I said, you don't look like you fit with any religious body here. Are you associated with one? And she said, no, not at the moment. They left the worldly carnal church out there, and then they went right into the Anabaptist world for several, many years, I think. And long story short, without going into all the details, we had a really good discussion. Her husband, I could see, was wandering around. And we had a really good talk about all kinds of things, like almost every topic there was for us women to be talking about, and who we were, where we come from, some of the scriptures on, you know, how we see through a lot of the deception out there. So that was really encouraging, and I gave her a gospel card, and I said to have her husband, if he wanted to, contact Brother James. And I said, we're always looking for believers. And so that was really unusual to see somebody who didn't belong to any sort of organization. So I know there were some things that she seemed a little bit surprised that I was saying, so maybe that was the seeds that she was supposed to get. So that's pretty awesome. And then it's just like lots of witnessing going on. It was pretty amazing. It's a good way to kind of jumpstart our traveling down the road here, preaching the gospel with all the stuff that was going on the first few days. And so the next morning we got up and we went over to the park, and it's like the town that we were in is like a real kind of slow pace, very relaxed, pretty safe, nice, you know, lots of people walking through the park, children playing and stuff. And so we went there right away. And as I was cleaning up some stuff in the van from after we're done having our coffee, Brother James went for a walk. And he saw a man with a money finder.
Mm-hmm.
And
reminded me when I was a kid, my uncle used to use one all the time on our farm and find all kinds of junk in the ground.
Oh, right. Yeah. And so he was talking to him for quite a while I was cleaning up the van. And then I came out. I didn't even know he was talking to him. I thought maybe he went over to the flea market, which was right next door. And so I thought, well, I'm just going to walk around the park while he's doing whatever he's doing. And I figured he was witnessing to somebody someplace. And I come around and I saw him witnessing to the man, because we saw him well before Brother James went out. And I was like, oh, this is awesome. So I went and stood there. And I don't know, I must have stood there for another 20 minutes or while they were talking.
Yeah, witnessed him for over an hour.
Yeah, the man had a lot of knowledge.
Yes.
A lot of biblical knowledge. It was very, very
encouraging. He had left churchianity and he saw the hypocrisy and the lies.
Right. Yeah. So that was like super encouraging to hear somebody. Well, yeah, he had more knowledge than most people that we run into. And so hopefully he's taking it serious. So that was very edifying. He seemed to appreciate the conversation as well. And then after that, we decided to walk back over to that swap meet or flea market, whatever you want to call it, that I was telling you about, that I gave that one woman a gospel card. And I noticed there was a lot more people set up that day, because I think it was on Friday I went, and then Saturday when we walked over there.
Yeah.
And so we just kind of look at that. I know we made a video on it, but kind of like a marketplace, you know, people coming and going. In the old world, it was like there was none of this driving around in your cars and going from store to store. You know, it was like people probably just setting things out, you know, along the streets and doing what you do in the market, you know, in the older, slower paces. So we look for places like that. And so this was nice. We just kind of wandered through. And I just wanted to share with you, it's really easy to strike up a conversation with somebody, you know, especially in a place like that. You know, it's easy for me I would go talk to the women. Brother James went and talked to the men, and we just passed out gospel cards to all the people who were selling and stuff. And it's easy to just, you know, ask a question about something they have there and strike up a conversation. And then when you're getting ready to go, you can just give them a gospel card, and then it will go wherever it goes. If they're interested, they'll talk to you. If not, kind of like, there was a really cute little camper there. It was really, really tiny. Somebody painted it up like vintage. And I walked over there, and there was two women packing up their stuff. And I said, "Excuse me, is that your camper?" And one woman pointed to the other one. And they were kind of busy, and I didn't really want to. I was like, "Oh, I don't know if this is going to work." And they were kind of talking to me while they were still working. And right at the end of the conversation, I don't know, 3 or 4 minutes or something, I said, "Well, here, I'd like to give you a gospel card. I said, I really appreciate your camper. We live in our van out on the road preaching the gospel." And I gave them a card. They both stopped what they were doing and looked at the card, and they thanked me, and we talked a little bit. And then I went on, and I caught up with Brother James, who had been giving out gospel cards, and we were at the table of an older man, and gave him a gospel card. Brother James talked to him a little bit about it, and then he said, before we were leaving, he said, "Were you the ones flying the gospel signs out on the street there the day before?" We said,
"Yeah." He gave us a thumbs up.
Yeah, he smiled and nodded his head and gave us a thumbs up. And then we moved on down, and Brother James gave a gospel card to he was a very, very elderly man. And the man was sitting on the tailgate of his pickup truck.
Yeah.
And he was sitting there just talking to Brother James for a while, so that was pretty awesome. And then we ended up coming to the town we're at right now. It's a busier town to go out and do some witnessing, which I'll tell you about in a minute. But before I do that, I got to tell you this, sisters. This was absolutely sweet and heartwarming. This was like a gift to me. I told Brother James, I said, you know, before we go park for the night, I might run into Aldi's. Maybe somebody needs the gospel there or something. And I always like to look at their vegetables and their fruit. Well, I happened to find 2 pounds of carrots for $1. I thought that was an awesome deal. And so anyway, I kind of kept crossing paths with this younger woman, probably maybe just pushing 30 or something, with a little 6-year-old boy maybe and a little toddler in the cart. And a few times I had to say, "Excuse me." And she didn't seem very talkative. And I was like, okay, why do I keep bumping into her? I thought maybe I would kind of maybe get an opportunity to give a gospel card. You know, you just kind of wait and see if those doors open. And as I was standing there, I forgot to tell you, I had my basket with my gospel sign on it. And I was standing there, and my sign was facing the little boy, who was about 6, and he goes, "Do you believe in Jesus?" And I said, "I do. Do you?" And he smiled, and he said, "Yes." And I said, "He's wonderful, isn't he?" And right then, his mom said something to him, and he had to turn around, and he stopped talking to me. I just thought that was so sweet. You know, when I came out and I told Brother James, I said, you know, it used to break my heart, because so many of the youth are either raised with atheism, or they
evolution.
Talk about, thank you, I was looking for evolution, thank you, and just a godless
public
society.
School system,
right? Or they're stuffed through the religious man-made system that I was, and so many people we know, and it used to break my heart. But that day, yesterday I think it was, I was really rejoicing, because you know what, I was pushed through all that. And there was seeds in me from when I was little. I don't even remember what they were. Just a few seeds of the belief of Christ and God and who he was and what he did. I never understood the religious system. It never sunk into me, never made any sense. It was just totally illogic to me. And so I always look at that and I go, you know what? There's redemption for anybody. And that little boy right there, any child, any adult, anybody out there has the opportunity to, because Romans 1 tells us that God has shown it to us all, and we all are without excuse. And so that was really encouraging to me. I know your sisters will find that very heartwarming. That was very sweet. And then today was a busy day. This morning we drove out in the countryside to an Amish Mennonite church.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, sisters. So we drove out there and all the cars are black. All the cars probably cost more than all our land and our dwellings that we live in.
A lot of fancy cars
homestead.
There.
Yeah, very costly and stuff. And I guess I'm not going to say that's sinful, but when it comes to simple people who are supposed to be believers and followers of Christ.
Not accumulating treasures of the world.
Right, because the Anabaptists are of the Sermon on the Mount, you know, and they always talk about how you're supposed to give everything away, not accumulating treasures and stuff. And there's nothing wrong if you've got a decent vehicle or a decent house or whatever. You have to be very careful that you're not preaching something that you're not doing, though.
Hypocrisy.
And so I'm just telling you that they were all black cars. So there's one of your man-made traditions there. And
we parked our white van right next to them.
Right, right. And so we went to talk to them, and then I guess I don't need to go into all the details right here, but because we got videos and stuff.
Yeah, we'll be putting up videos and we got audios. It was really, really an awesome experience. I got to preach the gospel to a whole bunch of their teenagers. I got to preach the gospel right. With the men and the women standing there listening in. And we learned a lot about the Anabaptists as far as a couple hundred men there, and they all ran out. And only two men ended up wanting to talk to me, and they ended up telling me that one of their leaders from the 1800s fell in a trance and had this mystic experience and gave them the command that they must continue to teach German. So they teach mysticism, yeah. They follow extra biblical revelation. Those are the only two men that wanted to talk to me. All the rest of the men cleared out. Even the leader, the elder, a guy named Marvin, ran out and didn't even talk to me.
Right.
He's supposed to be the shepherd and protect the sheep. And what we learned is they don't care about the gospel. They don't care that they're teaching false pagan holidays. They don't care that they worry more about business and money than they do reaching the lost around them. But they defend their mysticism and their Anabaptist false ways.
Their traditions.
And we saw very little love towards us while we loved on them to preach the gospel to them. You'll hear it in the audio.
Right. And so we share this with you not to be mean or hateful or anything, because why else would we be driving way out in the countryside to try to reach these people in love and try to call them to the truth, you know, because there's so many blind people out there. The way is narrow. Few are going to find the way. And so we go out there to try to call everyone to repentance. And a lot of people get swept away with the Anabaptists because, you know, a lot of people who get born again, they can see through the worldly church pretty easy. If you're reading God's word, you can easily see through the worldly churches out there, most of them. And then most people start refining down. When they start stripping their lives down and calling themselves out of the world, they look at the Anabaptists and go, whoa, that must be right. But what we're trying to do is help people not get stuck and go in there. And we also want to call people out of there.
Yeah.
And so we'll be sharing some of those audios and videos to help people out, and we're here if any of them want to call. They all got telephones, I'm sure.
Amen.
To call and
it was a blessing. We warned them about all the traditions of men that Jesus said void your worship, and we warned them about that and called them to repentance. So a couple hundred people got the truth, even if nobody wanted to talk about it. A lot of seeds were planted.
Yeah, and you know what else comes of this? Because people say, well, why do you put it on the internet? Well, I just mentioned, you know, I share some of this witnessing things because it is encouraging, it's edifying to the saints out there. Ephesians 4, training up for the ministry.
Yep.
You know, we're supposed to be edifying and exhorting one another, training up for ministry. So this is a good way to train people. This might give people strength and encouragement. And it's joyous to know that the word is going out. And sometimes people who aren't even in those religious bodies are the ones that are affected by it, because we've had Anabaptists say, I can't believe they treated you like that. Mm-hmm. I can't believe they did that. So that might be a seed planted to another Anabaptist somewhere else that sees it and goes, oh, wow, I guess I didn't realize all
right.
that.
And also, we want anybody seeking to go unite to the Anabaptists in that body to find the testing
right.
and go, oh, why do these people stand against them? It's not because we hate them. We love them. I told them we love them today. It's because we want to call them to salvation. Most of them don't even have salvation. They're
right.
a dead ritual religion.
Right. So, yeah, lots of witnessing going on. Praise God. All the glory to God. We're nothing.
We can't do it without Him.
That's right. We're just doing reasonable service, and we encourage you all. We're here to help any of you. Well, Brother James has all the teachings on the websites, and I'm here to help women in the ways of things, women's things, and just encourage you all. So hopefully that was edifying to you, and just some sister Sharon with you and some some brother James adding into it.
Amen. So,
all right, love to you all. Hold fast. May God be praised.